In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel, I think, points out something that's very important to all of us. Now, of course, we have to sort of set it up a little bit. Crowds were following Jesus everywhere. We all know this. Every single place he went, crowds were following him. And yet there's a man on the side of the road. He hears the commotion, kind of wondering what is going on. Surely, by the response he gives, he has heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And so when he's finally told, yes, this is him, he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Of course, the Lord is in the crowd and ostensibly wondering, you know, who that voice is, but of course he knew who it was. And he finds the man and he says to him, what is it you would have me do for you? And the man says, "Lord, I would like to receive my sight." And then, of course, the Lord restores it to him. "Your faith has saved you." But the important thing, I think, in this particular incident in the gospel is that, and it's actually something that has transcended from the time of the gospel all the way till now. And in this case, it came from within the church itself, the apostles, that there's always someone or something that is trying to keep you from Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. That has certainly been what has happened over the years, over the centuries, especially even today. But this particular man wanted the Lord and the disciples, and we don't know how many other people who were around him at the time, were saying, "Shh, shut up, stop yelling. Don't you know who this is? Quit yelling. Quit trying to get his attention. You know, leave him alone. This isn't for you." And this is what's happening all the time in our lives, especially even today in a world that goes out of its way to avoid Christ. There's always going to be something that tries to keep us away from him. Sometimes it's various personages in our life, sometimes family members, sometimes the fact that we are a little bit afraid of making the confession of Christ among different people because it is inconvenient for us or perhaps embarrassing to us or any host of reasons why we pull away from Jesus Christ. And there's many people today, especially our young people today, where the world is sort of closing in around them and telling them that this is what it's all about. This is all that you've got. What you see in front of you, what you taste, touch, smell, whatever it happens to be, whatever your senses tell you about, this is all that is in the world. This is all that is for you. And so many of our young people also drift away from the idea of God in general. They move away from Christ because they've come to believe and are being told every single day that there is nothing else, that it's not important, that the world will provide all of the things that you need, that it will give you everything that you want if you just do X, Y, and Z and follow along through your life and you're going to be okay. But of course, we know that that's not true, and in any a younger person who becomes an adult realizes this pretty quickly when the things of the world start becoming demanding to them. There are so many distractions out there today, so many electrical things that beg us to pay attention to them. I was just thinking about this last night when I was talking to Alexa. Alexa's always listening. Alexa's always volunteering information. "Hey, did you know you can do this? Did you know you can do that?" And when it called me by my name, I got really creeped out. It had not done that before. So you've got that. You've got these little things we call cell phones, handsets, beeping all the time, wanting you to know that some important message has come in, or that some email has come in, or, you know, somebody won this or that game. You could set alerts, and it's just always beckoning you away from the things that really, really matter. The distractions are there. Politics are there. They beckon us away 24/7. That it's so important for us to know that, you know, someone was killed in Uzbekistan 2 weeks ago. The whole world caves in upon us, again, distracting us from God, from the God who created the entire world. And so what we see is that the apostles that were trying to keep this man on the side of the road, this blind man, from calling out for help to the Lord, we see that that was almost a type of what was to come. Because as the world goes on, as it becomes more sophisticated in the things that it's able to do, that it can accomplish, and there are some really sensational, magnificent things that the world has accomplished, that human beings in the world progress to a point where we start uncovering the secrets of the world, we start learning about all of these different things. And yet, at the same time, we understand that the heart remains the same. The same difficulties that they had when the Lord walked the earth are here in the heart now. The same difficulties that Adam and Eve experienced in the garden are here now. We do not progress in the heart. We may think that we do. We may think that perhaps we're treating certain groups of people better as the years have gone by, that we're more humane this way or that way. And perhaps there's some truth in that, but that's hardly universal. Because as we see now, one country may be, you know, treating everybody just fine in certain ways, and other countries across the world are almost as barbaric as the worst things you could possibly hear. The human heart remains corrupted. And so that's why it's equally distressing when the world is telling us and our young folks and everybody else that this is all that there is. Because it's not true. It's not going to be satisfactory. It's not going to cure anything. It's always going to be the same. Christ is the only one that can heal us. And this man at the side of the road knew that. He was desperate. He wanted help. He knew that the Lord could help him, and he wasn't going to let anything stand in his way. And my brothers and sisters, we should have that same attitude today, that we're not going to let anything stand in our way with union with Christ. The Lord told him, "Your faith has saved you." St. Maximus the Confessor, who we celebrated this past week, equates faith with union with God. He says that is what opens the door. That it's not simply a question of saying, you know, closing your eyes and squeezing them and say, "I believe, I think." It's not like that. Faith is achieving union with God. And that's what this man did today. He was desperate. He needed help. Others that we hear about through the history of the church were the same way. In fact, St. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, talks about that today. St. Paul calls himself the greatest of sinners. He says that several times throughout his epistles. "I am the greatest of sinners." And we look at St. Paul and we think, well, how can that be? I mean, good grief, you're St. Paul. Look what you did. Look at all the things you accomplished. And we think, why did Paul say that? Well, it's not just hyperbole. Paul is not just using a literary conceit or something like that when he says these things. He meant it. And he meant it because he was one that persecuted the church. He was the first among all those persecuting the church. He would not relent. And so therefore he calls himself the greatest of sinners. But even St. Paul, just like the man on the road, had a deep ingrained desire to know something more than what his religious system at the time was leading him to. He could not get beyond where it was. The Lord knew this. And that's why he struck Paul on the road to Damascus. Because it was a wake-up call for him. He was saying, look, you've gone as far as you can go with this. You've gone so far that you've learned all the things about your own fathers in Israel, and your zeal has taken you to the point where you You come out and you actually agree with the death of people. You approved of Stephen's martyrdom as he was being stoned. That's where your knowledge and your faith in your religious system has taken you to, and it's enough. It can't go any further. And the Lord knew this, and that's why he converted Paul, because Paul was waiting to be converted at that point. He knew that Paul wanted something more, just as he knew the blind man wanted something more. The blind man wanted sight, but he received a great deal more than that. You cannot let anything get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Flat out. And the temptation is always going to be there to do just that. Because as in any relationship, it's never one-sided, is it? And so many of us think that it is. Well, I prayed all day and night and the Lord's still not listening to me. You know, this kind of thing. Or in a relationship, it means that the other person should make things easier for you. Why is it the Lord making this easier for me? Well, is that how we approach our friends and family? We judge the quality of the relationship by what they're doing for us as opposed to what we're supposed to be doing for them. It's the same way with us and Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be doing things for Him to demonstrate our love for Him. And He gives us everything in return, absolutely everything. So remember this. Remember that your goal as an Orthodox Christian is to let nothing come between you and God. Nothing. And there's things that are going to be hurled at you day after day, almost moment after moment, to try and get in the way of that. Temptations galore come at you. So many temptations that you become numb to them and you don't even realize that they are temptations. But they are. But they are. Cry out from the depths of your heart, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do it loudly, do it boldly, do it constantly, and our Lord Jesus Christ will not disappoint you. Amen.